Welcome to the It's Kim Java pod, where my husband and I discuss everything Tesla, EVs, solar, and tech.
The biggest UI overhaul in years is coming to a Tesla near you, but there's a catch.
And leaked source codes tell us almost everything we need to know about the performance Model 3.
And Tesla could be entering into wartime mode after layoffs and the departure of some high-ranking execs. All that and more starts right now. All right, starting out, we are getting new details about the new refreshed Model 3 performance ahead of the launch.
This has been something that a lot of people have waited very patiently for. Tesla's done a great job keeping this hush-hush. But now, based on some photos and also some source code leaks, we know a lot about the refreshed Model 3 performance. A lot of people have referred to it as a ludicrous Model 3. Well, Tesla's just going to be calling it a performance Model 3, and that's it.
Yeah, so we saw some pictures of it in Shanghai, and I think that kind of caused this stir because some of those were right-hand drive vehicles.
The online sleuths were at it. They actually saw these right-hand drive units in these aerial photos, and that triggered them to realize that a lot of these are probably going over to the UK. So they went over to the UK configurator page, and sure enough, the source codes are all there for you to see. At least they were a couple of days ago. And the information they found, pretty interesting stuff. Now, we know the performance Model 3, Tesla touts this in the source codes as being their most powerful Model 3 ever built. They've got two new drive units, two new motors that combine to over 500 horsepower, which is the most of any performance Model 3. And as I noted, they're not calling it ludicrous. They're just calling it that, the Performance 3.
But it will have the ludicrous badge.
Yes, you're right. So it does have that badging, which is kind of what initially triggered people to maybe think these were going to be called ludicrous Model 3s. A lot of info still hidden in these source codes. One item missing that people really holding on to was the 0 to 60 time. That's left as acceleration blank. So Tesla's not added that quite to the list yet.
And these things are basically going to look very similar to the refreshed Model 3 that we've already seen, except for they have a rear spoiler on them.
Yep.
They have the badging.
Also, the configurator in its source codes is talking about enhanced braking, enhanced brake pedal feel, and better brake pedal performance and heat management as well. So all of those are going to be advertised on the website once it goes live.
This is exciting, but what makes people not want to buy this over the Model S? I feel like this is going to feel like the premium vehicle.
It is. It's a smaller form factor. That's one. Obviously, a lot less people have the Model S than they do the Model 3, so maybe that's another factor. The price difference is going to be probably wider, so that will make a difference there.
One thing I thought was super interesting is that they said they were going to have a unique daytime running light.
Yes, that's left some people confused.
Yeah, I'm very confused about that and kind of curious. I want to see it.
Yeah, so they're describing this design for better visibility. And the detail they've kind of added in the source code says that they've integrated stop sign recognition to enhance safety. So these headlights recognizing stop signs, there's some level of confusion as to what that means because we haven't seen anything like that on the S and X yet. So that is pretty neat.
So the online configurator also says it will have adaptive suspension and a new kind of chassis with it.
Yeah.
Which is interesting to me because in the past, Model 3 has never had adaptive suspension before. Yeah, something we see with S and X, but now the performance Model 3 is going to have that.
Yeah, this again separates why you should get a performance, because prior to this, you know, we've done videos on performance Model 3s, and a lot of times it's essentially the same thing from the outside, besides the underline of the badging, which was the simplest way to, and of course the brake calipers being red, that was basically it. There wasn't much else that from the outset showed you that you had a performance Model 3, but this could be a first.
This could be it. Because it looks so similar before, it was really easy almost to like fake it with your other Model 3. Like, you know, just paint the calipers, you could add badging. A lot of people were doing things like that. But with this one, it will set it apart from the pack.
And talking about setting you apart from the pack, did you see this from Tesla? They sent out a post on X showing you a massive new UI overhaul with a bunch of new updates and a bunch of new improvements coming to all of its models.
Well, not all of them. Not all of them are going to be getting everything. If you look through the post, it specifically says that you need to have a specific chip.
Yes.
AMD Ryzen to get all of the updates.
Yes.
And that they put in early 2022. So vehicles built after that time will have that chip. I actually made a short on how to check if your vehicle has that, but it's pretty easy to go into software and check and see what you have.
Yeah. So basically what we're looking at is here the SXY and the 3 will all get the same UI as the Cybertruck, or at least similar sort of design-inspired UI. You'll get the car avatar to be much bigger. You'll have the controls and the media players be much larger and up front. Mm-hmm. And basically just a new look to this. And again, a lot of this is going to require that new AMD Ryzen chip that was introduced in early 22 to be able to keep up with the processing power that is needed. And there are other features, though, that are going to be introduced that you don't need to necessarily have these latest models to be able to have access to them. So Tesla calls this immersive full screen controls. And one of the ways is that you can actually expand an autopilot screen to full screen. You know how on full self-driving, you can slide to the right and get the screen to be full size. The visualization now is also going to be full size if you choose to for autopilot. Then it'll just kind of pop your navigation menu on the top corner. I know you're not a big fan of having this little tiny navigation guides
in the corner. I like to have my map big in front of me so I can see where I'm going ahead of time. And I don't know.
Yeah. I guess this is for autopilot where you don't necessarily need the map as much. But you're right. When you have one screen in the 3 and Y, that becomes more of an issue.
Also, X and X, 20.
X and X.
S and X. Sex. Now, this is interesting and also a little bit confusing, so maybe you guys can help explain this to me on here. But it says AutoShip Beta is coming to S and X 2021 and later. And didn't we already have AutoShip Beta?
Yeah, so AutoShift is essentially swiping to drive, but instead of having to swipe forward to go forward or back to go backwards, it automatically recognizes what's in front of you and what's behind you and chooses which direction you're going to be wanting to go. So that's this update supposedly is bringing that in, but we have it in ours. Maybe ours was unique that it was able to do that already. Possibly it's an improved version of it, but then Cybertruck and Model 3, the new Model 3, don't have stock. So Auto Shift could be a feature introduced to those two vehicles.
But it says on X that it's only coming to Model S and X 2021 and later.
Yeah.
So I'm not exactly sure, like, what's different about that than what we already have.
Yeah, if you guys got a new Model S or X out there, do you not have AutoShift? Let us know. So that's something.
Is it only something that people with a Yoke have currently?
Oh, maybe. Also, hands-free trunk is going to be introduced in this new update. This is for the S, X, and the new 3. And essentially what it is that if you've got your phone, the setting toggled inside the car for the S, X, and 3, if your phone is in your pocket and you're standing directly behind these three vehicles, it'll open the trunk automatically without you having to press the button for it to open for you.
Now, I'm not sure if this is something I'm going to like, because with our X, we have the option for auto present and the door just pops open whenever you walk past it if you have your phone with you. Is this going to be how the trunk is going to work?
You've got to line up and stand behind it probably for at least a second or two for this to happen, where the X, as you approach it, you know, it triangulates and opens on the go. So I think this is going to be a little bit more sensitive. And of course, you can toggle it off if you don't want your trunk to pop open when you're standing aimlessly behind your trunk without the intent to open it.
Because sometimes you're just in your garage, or you're walking through your garage and then your door pops open. You're like, no, I want it to close. But it does close back again on its own. Like if you walk away, it will close.
On the X, yes.
Yeah, on the X. But still, I feel like it's kind of an... I don't really like it personally. I don't know. If you guys have it, do you use it? I'm curious. What I'm really excited about getting with this update is Sentry mode on my phone, being able to view it, get that preview. So if you're like in a store and somebody's trying to break into your car, it pops up on your phone, you can see it right away. Yeah. I think that's really exciting. That's something also we've asked for.
A lot of people have asked for this specific feature for years, and now Tesla will send you a clip to your phone if Sentry mode is enabled and an alarm is triggered. It sends a little thumbnail, actually, of the image there of what's happened to your car on your phone. And then, of course, gives you a short clip, not the entire 60-second clip, I believe, but a shorter version of it to preview on your phone. So that is pretty neat to have that option now.
But that feature is only going to be available for people who pay for premium connectivity and in select countries. So not everyone's going to be able to get it. We also now have Audible. And you can queue up your Spotify. And then what the kids are probably going to be most excited about is the Are You There Yet feature, where they can kind of see those trip details in the back on their screen. We don't have to hear them asking us constantly, how long till we're there? When are we going to charge next? All that stuff.
Yeah, the Are We There Yet is only coming to SX and Cybertruck and the new Model 3, of course. All the vehicles. The best-selling car, the Model Y, still stays without a screen.
Yeah, well, so you need that rear screen in order, you know, for it to make sense to have that access. But definitely a cool feature for them to have.
Yeah.
So speaking of Cybertruck, it's also going to be getting a spring update. It's going to get power sharing. So it will have the vehicle to home charging that has been talked about, but it's going to actually be getting it now. And then also an improved turning radius.
Yes, by 1.6 feet, I believe. So, I mean, it already had a pretty impressive turning radius. That's there. There's even talks of the crab walk making an appearance with this update. Is that...
No, that is not true.
No?
They're saying that it will be able to do the tank turn, okay. But then Wes, who is an engineer on the Cybertruck, has chimed in and said that it's not going to be able to do the crab walk because he feels like there's really no need for that and that that's pretty gimmicky. Really, the only time people use it is for parallel parking. And it's kind of interesting to me because he talked about it being gimmicky and I'm like, wait.
Tesla, Model X is all about gimmicks.
It's all about gimmicks. I mean, these cars fart. Like, what's the purpose of that? I don't really know. But I mean, I don't know. What do you guys think? Do you think it being able to crab walk for parallel parking, I mean, that could be useful. Also with steer-by-wire, like, do you really need anything more? Like, steer-by-wire makes it so good. Yeah. Like, I mean, you can really get in those tight turns. So I'm not sure.
And also cabin overheat protection will be introduced into Cybertruck. You know, people are surprised that initially we didn't have autopilot on there. So many of these features were lacking, mm-hmm. cabin overheat protection being one of them. I guess they could justify that where the vehicle was being delivered, it was not summer yet, so it wasn't that big of a deal. But it's going to be there, the new horns, the new lock sounds, a colorizer, so you can kind of customize. There's a lot of people wrapping these trucks to be able to get your Cybertruck to resemble what it actually looks like on the outside. So those are all right. Kim, did you hear about the layoffs? 10% of Tesla's workforce is laid off as of the last week. That represents about 14,000 people. So Elon basically sent this company-wide email that said the rapid growth recently with multiple factories coming online and just the scale production has led to a duplication of jobs and roles within Tesla, which is really the main reason why they needed to let go of about 14,000 people. But there are also at least a couple of executives involved in departing Tesla. It's not clear if they were laid off or they chose to leave. Drew Baglino actually is Tesla's senior vice president for powertrain and energy, and he went on over to X and said he wants to spend more time with his family, so he's leaving Tesla as well.
He didn't say if he was being laid off, though, or if he was just leaving. So I'm not really sure exactly with them if they are or they knew it was happening and they decided they didn't want to say they were laid off. Yeah. And
Rohan Patel also, this is an executive or vice president of business development.
Yeah.
He's also announced over on X that he's going to be leaving.
Also, I think it's important to note that layoffs are not unique just to Tesla. Rivian is also laying off some of their workforce.
It's the second go around. Their previous layoffs were 10% of their workforce. It was done right after the Q4 earning report. This time around, in the last couple of days, it's 1% of their workforce being laid off. And RJ Scaringe releasing a statement saying this was necessary to support their goal, which is to be gross margin positive by the end of this year. We know they've dropped prices, right? They've dropped their R1S, R1T prices. They've had lease prices now at $550, introducing more affordable variants of these cars as well. And they're trying to find a balance here. But, you know, when you think about Rivian, they were losing about $43,000 per vehicle built in Q4 of last year. This is down significantly from $124,000 per vehicle they were building back in 2022. So they're kind of making these improvements. And we've seen that with Tesla as well in the early days where they were essentially just there to lose money with every single vehicle built. But they flipped the script now and are able to make a pretty significant profit compared to the rest of the auto industry on these vehicles. So that's kind of where Rivian is at right now. And a lot of people forget, Kim, that the R1S, it was actually the best-selling EV in the U.S. last year, above $70,000. So in that higher price point area, people chose Rivian over Tesla. And with the R2, with the introduction of the R3 possibly coming out in the next couple of years, we know there is definitely a market for lower price compelling EVs as well. So that's where Rivian's headed.
That's very interesting. Also, I feel like with these headlines of, you know, Tesla and Rivian laying off their workforce, I'm sure the mainstream media is going to go straight into it being because electric cars aren't selling.
That's their go-to line, right? That's exactly their go-to line, even though they're selling at significantly higher numbers year over year and that's expected to continue dramatically increasing.
So just expect it. It's gonna we're gonna see those articles now, and we know that it's FUD. So if you guys have gone on social media at all this week, you're seeing images of Teslas going through heavy flooding in Dubai.
Yes, this has been going on for a few days here. Significant rainfall and the flooding with Teslas driving through the water. You see all the other cars have kind of been stranded in here, and of course the Teslas pushing through. And really interesting observation. A lot of people with Teslas have heard Elon Musk talk about its, you know, waterproof nature of the battery pack and being able to float for a few seconds and making it through water. It's always a no-no to go through water, regardless if your car can do it or not. And we actually had, I believe it was Zach Green, the only or one of these hackers or engineers that tears through their Teslas and is able to get info out of it. And he was very clear. Elon says this all the time. The car can pull it off, but water does get in. Water does corrode, does cause damage. So please do not rely on your car, or do not, on purpose drive through flooded roadways.
So you're not saying like Teslas are not boats?
They're not boats. They can do it, and you're not going to get water inside your engine, but you will still cause damage to your vehicle if you are submerged long enough.
But in an emergency situation, sure. I would rather be in a Tesla than sure. one of these other vehicles, because they do look like they're getting through the water better than some of the other ones. Yeah.
And I feel like, you know, Elon Musk has been in meetings with engineers at Tesla who've told him things like, you know, we've done these tests and these are watertight, so you technically can drive in the water. It's basically a boat. And then Elon almost takes this and embellishes it maybe a little bit. And that's where we get these public perceptions that these vehicles are safe to drive into water.
Well, I know with Cybertruck, when we did a little bit of our teardown, they do have that air compressor and it seals off the battery pack mm-hmm. with Cybertruck. And we've kind of joked about, you know, having an add-on that would turn it into a boat.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's kind of interesting to see these images. They're fun to watch anyways. So Elon actually went on X and has a post where he said, every 5 years, we need to reorganize and streamline the company for the next phase of growth. So a lot of people are saying Tesla's kind of in this wartime mode right now, mm-hmm. where there's a lot of changes going on. Again, with the layoffs, they're getting rid of a lot of staff. I've even heard rumors that it's not just 10%, it's 20% okay. rumors. And people just showed up to work and found out that they were laid off. So there is definitely a lot happening over at the company right now. And when we spoke with Larry Goldberg about this, he even talked about how they're going through this regrowth period. And there's going to be a few years where there's this dark time for Tesla before Robotaxi comes out, the humanoid robot. We have a lot of big things that yeah. are coming out of Tesla.
Look, you're not going to go through the tremendous amount of growth that Tesla's seen over the last couple of years of becoming one of the largest, one of the most valuable companies on the planet with these incredible aspirations that if you were to just go back 10 years and think about you and I sitting on a podcast talking about robots being a thing, which it looks like is going to be, or self-driving literally happening, you know, in our garage right now, cars parked there that can do it. These are all things that are going to come with these growth periods.
Something else I also wanted to talk to you about is there's been a lot of talk with MKBHD's video. This is going a totally different route, but I thought it'd be interesting to talk about this on here.
Yes.
And we have the Fisker video, and then we have another video that's come out, and people are saying that do reviewers kill company or do bad products kill the company?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so a lot of people say, you know, if you've got a following in an audience, there is some level of responsibility that should be taken into account as far as putting a company and a company's livelihood and the people that are involved in making this brand, essentially throwing them under the bus. And yeah, so there is that to be had. But at the same time, if a product's not good, you're not necessarily responsible for that for making that product look better than it is.
And I agree with you 100%. One of the things that I think about is when you're creating the title and thumbnail, mm-hmm. a lot of times people just look at those the same way they would just look at headlines
yeah.
on a news article, and they don't actually read the article. Sure. But people do that with YouTube as well, right? They see the thumbnails, the titles, and then they make the opinion. So when you put that this is the worst product
yes.
or like, you know, in that, And potentially it can be seen as clickbait.
Yeah, and on the video, he'll explain why he thinks it's not a great product and maybe even say it's the worst product. And we do that oftentimes as well. But unfortunately, you know, I always say, don't hate the player, hate the game, because that's just how YouTube has kind of fine-tuned what is almost needed to stand out in a crowd of millions and millions of uploads every single day. Mm-hmm. So you try to build your audience at the same time, try to captivate the audience or engage them to want to click on something, not necessarily just misleading, but that's just, you know, you only have 3 or 7 words between that span. It's just a couple of words to be able to engage the audience. So you can't really give you a review and a title, and the title saying it's the worst product ever is really the best title when you think about it from a creator's perspective.
No, I completely agree on that. And it's really interesting because it's a discussion that I think a lot of viewers maybe don't realize, like, that creators actually see all this. You can actually see, I always called our clickbait rate, but you can see your click-through rate. And if people are engaging with it, mm-hmm. with your thumbnails and with your titles, and you have to have something that will get people intrigued in order to watch your whatever you're putting out there. So again, don't hate the player, hate the game. It's kind of part of it.
And I will say clickbait used to work, and it absolutely doesn't. So what I mean by that is the click-through rate on YouTube basically looks at how many people are clicking on your video. And if they watch an extended period after clicking, it tells YouTube that the video was actually pretty solid. It delivered on what it promised. If you say something and then do the video and it doesn't at all talk about a product being bad or doesn't at all talk about what you're, you know, describing in the video at some point, then the audience tunes out and the video is only shown to a handful of people immediately. So you can have the most incredibly clickbaity title about, you know, God forbid, someone passing away and someone notable passing away, and it will not get views if people click on it a few hundred times and it doesn't get watched because they realize that's not what happened. Yeah. So that's what I'm trying to get at here. Yeah. The video delivered on what it promised, which is why it reaches the people it does.
Yeah. And then also there's something to be said for a lot of these, you know, tech companies and tech-based cars, software-based cars, is that they get these software updates. So potentially the vehicles can or products can change a lot from mm-hmm. the time a reviewer has it and if it gets another update. So a lot of it should only be seen as feedback.
Yeah.
So maybe it's not doesn't need to necessarily kill a product.
Yeah. Most EV reviews, I mean, let's face it, most EV reviews are almost heavily dependent on their software integration within their UI. That's really a user experience that goes a long way in making you enjoy and like an EV, from how it's presented, how easy it is to access, how it flows and it's not laggy.
And I mean, in our channel, we've talked about a lot of things that we've wanted to see happen with Tesla. And even with this next update, we're seeing, you know, the Sentry mode. That's something we've talked about over and over again, where we need to be able to have that on our phones. We want that. They've made it happen. We've talked about wanting a bird's eye camera.
Yeah.
And now, you know, we're getting that with their, they always have funny terms for the calling it now. High fidelity is basically the bird's eye camera. So Tesla definitely does that. They handle, I think, the feedback correctly and they make those changes. So other companies could potentially do that. Another thing, though, I kind of wanted to ask you about, and I know he didn't know that I was going to bring any of this up on camera, but, you know, just I've been thinking about it a lot, is that Marquez is in a situation where he is not necessarily sponsored by these car companies, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So how does that work as a smaller channel where sometimes you are sponsored or you're not necessarily sponsored, but you get an incredible opportunity?
I mean, those bigger channels, which they're, you know, only a handful of, don't rely on sponsors. They rely on ad revenue and they rarely have sponsors. So they essentially really get to do as they please, where the vast majority of content creators online have sponsors that are sole reason the channel exists.
Yeah.
So, I mean, without the sponsors, there's no content.
And one of the things I want to say about that is that I still believe, like, it's important to be authentic with how you feel about a vehicle, because you won't have a channel if you are, you know, essentially lying to your audience. Like, your audience is number one, and then you have a sponsor. And I think it's also really important to look for sponsorships, if you're going to take them like we do, with products that you like
yes,
and that you actually use. And I think that's super important as well. And I know that we have a team behind us that helps us with our sponsorships. And we've, you know, had some feedback from people online that are like, you know, this product is kind of, you know, and we haven't worked with those companies again. And then with car companies, I try to look for cars that I actually want to know more about. And those are the reviews that I will do. So the end of Q1 is next week, and Tesla opened up their investor questions on X, so people could ask questions that they want to hear Tesla answer. So first, Tesla Robotaxi unveil on 8/8. What is a realistic timeline for launching a revenue-generated Robotaxi network? I'm very curious myself. People want to know about FSD transfer, and can they make that permanent? That's one I've talked about so many times on here.
They just pulled the plug on it, right? They had it for about 8 days. It came, it went back, then it came again. And then after 8 days, Tesla's like, FSD transfers are over. So that's obviously a huge sticking point that every single Tesla owner is like, all right, you want us to upgrade, let us take our FSD with us. And Tesla says, here you can. And then 2 weeks later, they say you can't. So
one of the things about that is maybe they'll announce that it's like level 5 autonomous now. Mm-hmm. And that's a big thing for people. It's like, okay, make it transferable until it's actually like a real product.
Yes.
But maybe now they're saying it is a real. Okay. And then also people want to know about the progress of the cheaper next generation vehicle. Is that going to be canned completely? Is it going to be, you know, one product or two products with Robotaxi? Have any legacy automakers contacted Tesla about licensing FSD in the future? I think that's really interesting. I would love to know that. Timeline for release of the Tesla robot. Lots of stuff on this $25,000 vehicle. Do you think that he will talk about Robotaxi, or do you think that all that's going to be hushed until this August 8th?
We've seen Elon recently be much better at keeping quiet. So I think he'll say a couple words and they'll say, I don't want to say too much. And that's what he'll do. That's what he's done with the next gen Roadster, where he used to just tell you everything. Now, you know, we saw Joe Rogan try to get that out of him in a recent interview, and he just wouldn't do it.
Yeah. So the earnings call is going to be at 4:30 on April 23rd, which is next Tuesday.
Yep.
So we're all going to be listening and stay tuned.
You know, these videos, a lot of times they're only possible because of our Patreon members. They get exclusive access to content, early release of footage, never before seen footage, Q&As with one-on-one with Kim and I. And also on-air shout-outs.
If you want less sponsorships in the video, Patreon is a great way to make that happen, because it helps us be able to be creators. It helps us move in the right direction as independent creators and be able to get the most truthful information out to you guys. And I want to go ahead and thank some of our Patreon members.
Those are Michael, KP Tuitahi, Vinny, Jean Loyens, Sebastian Simon, Alejandro Duke, and Hans Peter.
And a special thanks to our top tier members, Matthew Burnett and Ninan. And if you guys have watched this far, chances are that you're enjoying our content. So please make sure you're subscribed to our channel, and we'll catch you next time.